Last week, George shared with us from Philippians 4. This week, I would also like to continue on in Philippians. He shared with the rejoicing in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord always, that we are not to be anxious in anything, but to bring everything to prayer and supplication before the Lord. And these are great truths and great reminders that we need to apply to our own lives, that we need to be ever present, ever mindful of our Lord and Savior and what he has done for us, and that we have so much strength in his and what he has done already. And we have to be reminded that we live in a world that is not a content world. It is discontent, if anything. Discontent seems to increase, and the wanting of more rules, the wanting of more rules of the day, the wanting of more power, the more knowledge, more money, more pleasure, more stuff. It all seems to increase as our affluence increases in society. And Paul in 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." The basic necessities of life is what ought to make Christians content. Now, having possessions is not sinful, and Paul is not speaking against them, except the possessions that possess the possessor. When they are no longer recognized as gifts from God, and they become our focus and drive in life. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. For he himself, that is God, has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Contentment is a virtue and is a command. And yet so many people are discontent. They do not experience the contentment. And to tell you the truth, most Christians do not experience this contentment, at least to the degree that God desires of us. In North America, we have much of everything. And yet, we are very discontent in our society. We seek help from all the wrong places, from self-help books, psychiatrists, other people, and ignore the one book that can help change lives, because we want to be in control. We have perverted our wants into our needs, a far cry from being satisfied with just food and clothing. Paul in Philippians shows us how we can be content in a world that seeks more than it needs. So turn with me to Philippians 4, and starting in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." Can we say that today, like Paul, that we are content in whatever state that we find ourselves to be? Do we have contentment no matter what the circumstances are? Do we have peace, and can we say we are satisfied? If we can't say that we are content, then we are disobeying God. Now you may ask, how can we be content in a world that wants more than it needs? Well, let's look at verse 10. And Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Paul's speaking from prison, being chained to a Roman guard at this time. He is he's speaking of the care that he got from the Philippians. But Paul's confidence was not in the care of the Romans, where he was found chained to this Roman guard, or the Philippians, but in the providential care of God. And that it, the support that was given by Epaphroditus, which we learned of in verse 16, it says, that he came and gave supply from the Philippians, was right on time by the hand of God. It wasn't that the Philippians were holding back from Paul till then, but that the opportunity did not work out. Paul had learned that God is sovereign and knew his needs. What does it say in Hebrews verse 5? It says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do we believe this? Paul sure did, and this was the key to his and our contentment, that we recognize that God is sovereign. He is providentially guiding our steps when we submit and obey to his word. There is a caveat here. The contentment, though, is that if we are living in sin and not confessing our sin, can we expect to have contentment in all things? I would say no. No, we become weak as Christians and discontent because we allowed sin to reign in our lives. We are called to be holy, to have but one God. He does not want to share his throne with our sin. In 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 7:1, it says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The reason Paul was content was because he knew that the times and seasons and opportunities of life were all in the sovereign control of God. Until you come to this place in your life where you understand that God is sovereign in ordering everything in this world for holy purposes, to work out his will and to make all things work together for your good, you will always be discontent if you do not recognize this. You will take on the responsibility to order your own steps in life, and you will be discontent because you cannot control everything. God desires us to be content, but it takes humbleness to submit to God and to follow his plan. Solomon, the wisest, most wealthiest, and influential king in Israel's history, came to the conclusion from a human perspective that no amount of power, celebrity, pleasure, or prestige could ever satisfy man's heart. That is all vanity, futile emptiness of trying to be content apart from God. Paul was content with little. He was content with just his needs, the bare minimum. He was chained to the Roman guard at this time and was not able to move freely about. He was dependent not on his own strength, but the strength of God to meet his needs. A society that does not believe in the sovereignty of God starts to develop new needs. We are told that we need things that we never knew that we needed. A new car, a bigger house, more security, that we need to be more beautiful, that we need more vacations. Just think of the advertisements that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. They are telling us that we need more to be content. Solomon, at the end of his testing found that nothing is better for man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. If we are seeking happiness apart from the Lord today, confess your sin and forsake it. Paul found his contentment in the Lord Jesus. In Philippians 1:21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Contentment is not found in material possessions, but in Christ. And when we recognize that it is God who controls, is in control, and that he is sovereign, submitting to his will and his work, knowing that he will meet our needs, this is when we can have true contentment. And we can say, like Paul in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." May God bless you today with contentment in your own life, trusting in his control over your steps and everything that you do.